Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm having a great morning, thanks. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about Advent on November 27th, 2016, and the new moon in Sagittarius on November 29th, 2016. This show will focus on the importance of preparation and spirituality and the application of a new beginning. Listen as Swami explains how to use the transit of a new moon to get ready for the coming of the Messiah. Use these next 4 weeks to get yourself connected to the life force. Experience the transformation from being on the outside looking in to being on the inside looking out. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and pray on prana. So Swami, what I thought I would do is I would talk a little bit about the history of Advent. Now Advent, for those folks who don't know, is a 4-week period that marks the beginning of the Christmas season. It is a time of spiritual preparation before the celebration of the birth of Christ. In the Roman Catholic tradition, it is also a time of penitence. The period of Advent involves reflection about what it meant for the world before Christ came and preparing the church and hearts for the true meaning of Christmas. So Swami, in our summary, we said we were going to talk about the importance of preparation in spirituality, and that is exactly what Advent is all about, the 4 weeks in preparing ourselves. So how can we prepare ourselves in the yoga tradition or yoga way?
I think that's an important thing to understand, is that there is something that we must do to become spiritual, that the consensus or the common collective concept that we're already spiritual isn't exactly 100% right. And so the important thing to understand is that there is something that we must do to become spiritual. And preparation is essential in order to actualize this experience. And I think the more that we kind of unbox some of these concepts and maybe even look at them in a different way, because, say, for example, even the concept of the Messiah. Now, the Essenes, they looked at the concept of the Messiah that it wasn't a person, but it was an energy field. And their idea of going to the woods and preparing the way for the Lord was very different than blazing a path for this person, Jesus. That it was actually preparing your physical body for the invocation of this other energy field that you would use in your body. And one of the things that is very common in spiritual communities is this concept of purification. And I think, like you had mentioned in the opening, in your description, that the Catholic tradition, you know, uses this whole time for penitence and their concept of punishment and mortification of the physical body, I think is really off point. That you don't want to brutalize your body, and it isn't about abstaining. from all the things that we use in the physical world to produce feelings that we're okay, that we're happy, that, you know, this is what we call a good time. This whole thing of purification isn't about abstaining, it's about preparation. It's about preparing the body, and then what you're basically going to do is you're going to use a different energy field, a different substance, a different dimension of reality, to do all the things that we're using things in the physical world to do today, basically, to produce a simple feeling that we're happy. And I think what happens is that we make a clear distinction between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and, you know, eternal happiness, spiritual happiness. And it really all boils down to what it is that, what energy field we draw from. And a big part of the season of Advent has a lot to do with learning. There's always a lot of readings and stuff that is associated with this preparation. And in Kriya Yoga, we have our path of knowledge. It's really important to have a blueprint, to have an understanding of what it is that I'm trying to do with this particular time of the year, with this particular practice that I am employing. And then, of course, the whole concept of this particular new moon in conjunction with it, I think, can be quite helpful. And one of the things is that the moon and the sun are in Sagittarius. In Hampton, the chart of the new moon is going to be in Sagittarius on the horizon, which means it's going to be on the cusp of the first house. And Saturn and Mercury are in Sagittarius. And Sagittarius is really, it's the ninth house in astrology, basically, represented by it. And it's your higher mind. And that's really the part of consciousness that we want to start to cultivate and start to access and rise above what we call the lower mind, which is just directly related to our senses. And so being able to maybe use this particular transit, because the new moon is typically a new beginning, and so to use this to maybe help you make your connection, and to use these 4 weeks before this concept of the birth of Christ, and maybe look at it rather than the birth of some baby that was born 2,000 years ago, to the rebirthing of your body in this other energy field.
Now, when I was going through some research for today's show about Advent, I have some information I came across, and it says that each Sunday in Advent has a particular theme to it. So, like the first week, the first Sunday, that week is associated with faithfulness. And then the second and third Sundays, which feature the stories about John the Baptist, are supposed to represent hope and joy. And then the fourth Sunday, that's going to cover the events that lead up to the birth of Jesus. That week represents love. So if this week is faithfulness, how can we use the new moon, like you said, to help us with this connection to the life force? How can we use that and also celebrate this week for faithfulness?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting that what you just talked about was using this time to develop faith, hope, and charity or love. Kind of those three stages are an important part in the phases of human development, where we're going from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness, that initially we do need a certain degree of faith. not belief without proof, but a certain degree of trust without reservation that this other energy field is going to be there for me, that I can actually use what I need as a genuine source of validation. Because we do not come in with that programming. This concept of rebirthing your body in this life force is an essential part of becoming spiritual, because our bodies come in with programming, but we're looking for food, mother, and approval. We're looking for something visible and tangible. We're looking for duality, basically, which is the impermanent part of reality. And as long as we draw from that, we're in the realms of suffering and decay. So you need a certain degree of faith initially, that not something that you're going to believe in without any kind of proof. It's not blind faith, but it is a certain degree of trust that, you know what, the forces that are really important to me are there. And that has an evidence procedure. But you're trying to develop that relationship with your physical body. You're trying to change the reward circuits in your brain, basically. You're trying to change neurological pathways, because we're looking for something that's impermanent, visible and tangible, or invisible but tangible. We're looking for particles or waves, and what we essentially have to try and connect to is something that's invisible and intangible. So it does require a certain degree of faith that that's going to be there. But then, of course, the hope and the joy that comes with this concept of love. When we finally internalize the right symbol that produces the right feeling in your body, that is what elevates us out of this limited perspective of seeing ourselves as separate.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you questions about the second and the third week, you know, the hope and joy. Well, I wasn't raised Catholic, so what do they mean by, like, that whole week should be about hope in the Catholic religion, and then how do we internalize that for the yoga?
Yeah, I actually was raised Catholic, and I had a great deal of exposure to these concepts, but unfortunately, they don't make any sense to me the way that they lay it out for the most part, and it wasn't really until I started to practice yoga and started to bring some of these concepts to an experiential level that I really start to get this sense of awareness of maybe what the Catholics were supposed to be doing, but really kind of were way off point. But this concept of hope and joy is that when you're taking this leap of faith to try and put your sense of well-being on something that's invisible and intangible, all of a sudden you start to see that it's there, and it's going to be there. That kind of inspires this evolution of your faith into this belief or this hope, and it starts to instill this new feeling of joy.
All right, well, great. We're going to get back to that. We're going to pause right now and hear a word from our sponsor, so listeners, we'll return in just a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamida Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody spirit, feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the Cosmic Ballroom. Kriya Yoga Series 2 live classes and videos, a practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your Labyrinth video.
I find positive desires.
Kriya Yoga Mantra and Meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Prayan prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private sessions. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Apurna Maria, Purna Meva Vashishate.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I want to go back to talk about those 4 weeks of Advent. Just to recap, the first week is about faithfulness, the second week, hope, third week, joy, and the fourth week is love. So what you were saying before, you were explaining that yoga and these 4 weeks, how they can kind of parallel each other. So are you saying that the process would be to find your faith first, and then we work into hope, and then to joy, and then there comes the love?
Yeah, and it's not just based on intellectualism. It's not just a lot of theory here. What you're basically trying to do is, first of all, one of the things that typically accompanied this Advent period was quite a bit of fasting. And not just punishing your body and denying your body or abstaining from things that you're accustomed to indulging yourself in. Fasting is essential in order so that you're not going to abstain from the things that you're using now to produce the feeling you're okay. You're actually purifying your body. You're preparing it, because being spiritual isn't abstaining. It's a substitution. And what happens is that now you're starting to use a different resource that would produce the same feelings that a glass of wine or a cigarette or a beer might do for you, or a phone call or money in the bank, that now all of a sudden you're not abstaining from these things, but you are using something else that is actually producing the same feeling. But the difference is that once you make this, And the religious term was called conversion. And in the Old Testament, they called it the New Covenant. That you're actually converting your body now to use a different resource to produce this feeling that I'm happy, I'm special, I'm good enough. And when you start to internalize that, and the reason why you have to purify yourself is basic physics. It's like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. And because we come in with this original sin, we come in with this pattern that we're looking for something that is impermanent. We're looking for something visible and tangible, or invisible but tangible. We're looking for particles or waves that you can't get spirit in as long as you have this pattern that we come in with. And that's why purification is so essential. but it's not a standard. And I think that's where a lot of our religions really miss the point. And they're busy abstaining, but they never really make the conversion. They don't use what we really do need to produce the feeling of joy. See, these religious holidays were called feasts. Now, of course, we indulge ourselves in food instead of the life force. So it's not really a spiritual holiday if what you're looking forward to is something visible and tangible, if you're craving food instead of actually loving and desiring this void or this nothing, this indivisible unified field, this other source of sustenance. So it's a very different dynamic. And then, of course, what starts to happen is that you start to feel connected. And these terms all of a sudden now have completely different meaning to you than what they did initially. Because all we really can understand is you can't separate your sense of perception from what it is that you're perceiving. That's why reading scripture only gets you so far. Parroting back scripture is not the same as loving the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. Or as the Buddhists would say, desiring nothing.
As you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, there was two Christmas carols that come to mind, and one is O Come, O Ye Faithful, you know, and then the other one was Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And I wish I had the verses in front of me so I could quote them a little bit better and talk about them, but isn't that interesting that when these hymns were written, it was probably written to mean something different than how we interpret them today in today's world. O Come, O Ye Faithful. I just think that that might be something for us maybe to look into, you know, as independent study maybe, and look at some of these, you know, older, you know, Christmas carols and kind of really delve into the real meaning behind some of these old songs.
Oh, yeah. And again, you know, you just look at how we have changed and how we're getting further and further from the essence of our religions. And that's one of the things that we always talk about is today you look up the word religion and it's a belief system as opposed to, you know, a instruction to relink an individual with this divine source. And when it becomes academic and intellectual, it becomes very different because we never really get out of the limited perspective of seeing ourselves as separate. We're not getting the benefit of what religion was intended to do, which was to make us adults, to make us humans in the adult state. And until we really start to understand that these feelings of guilt, shame, anger, resentment, blame, emptiness, and boredom that we are epidemically struggling with today, that they don't come from the rules and regulations of your religion. They come from a kickback from this unlived latent potential that you want to be a whole person, that you want to be an adult. And the communities that were there to teach us how to do that was in the religious communities, but now they've failed so bad, and they're not doing what they were intended to do. And then, of course, you go through these seasons, and you give lip service to this concept of this person you think is God, And everything else is just intellectual and academic. And then, of course, you fight for your beliefs as opposed to just enjoying the living daylights out of your life.
It is interesting that, you know, we talk about there that people have different perceptions about different things. And if you throw out a word like joy and you throw out the word love and the word God, those three words can mean so many different things to so many different people.
Right. And that all is because of the simple fact that we're trying to interpret it from the realms of duality, as opposed to understanding it from the perspective of spiritual.
I came across a quote by Pope Francis that he put on Twitter, and this was back in December 21st, 2013. And he tweeted, I guess that's what you would call it, "Advent is a journey towards Bethlehem. May we let ourselves be drawn by the light of God made man." But interesting how he uses that word, the journey, because isn't that kind of like what you're talking about, is that this is a spiritual journey that we're on when we talked about the faithfulness and then the hope and the joy and then comes love. So I don't know if that's what he meant, but after listening to what you were saying, and then I looked at that saying again, that Advent is a journey, maybe that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, and sometimes it's great to use these metaphors, but the other thing is that you have to understand that this spiritual journey is a process, and it's an internal process, and it's a true transformation. And you could drive to Bethlehem and not be connected to spirit, whereas you could stay in Brooklyn and be totally immersed in the life force. And I think those are the distinctions that we want to be able to make, that it's not academic, it's not intellectual, and that it is a process. And it all begins with this preparatory work. It begins with this cultivation of the higher mind and a transcending of the limits of sensual perception, rational thinking, but not the loss of rational thinking. It's not a loss of self-conscious awareness. It's just a more inclusive point of identification.
I was wondering, Swami, if you can just take a minute or two and talk about another observance that's coming up this week, and that's Giving Tuesday, which happens right after Cyber Monday, which is supposed to be the most volume of shopping done for Christmas via the computer. So it follows obviously on Black Friday. So Giving Tuesday is that time where to promote charity and generosity and be in that state of giving, and which I think is interesting because we just had Thanksgiving. So I kind of wanted to get your thoughts about that.
Well, I have mixed thoughts about the whole thing of charity and just there's a big difference between helping and enabling. And I think the concept of teaching a person to fish as opposed to giving them a fish, that you're passing on and you're empowering them when you give them the ability to feed themselves. And I don't have any problem with helping people, but after a while it deteriorates into enabling, and they never get engaged in their own lives, and so as a result they always have their hand out, and it's just bad conditioning. And for me to be doing this because I think I'm going to get some sort of reward as a result of it, the whole thing starts to fall apart. And so that you know, is that's my take on it.
I just wanted to get your opinion because it was the first I had heard of it. So I guess with that, we have to start closing down our program. So listeners, I'd like to invite you out there to visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, you can post comments or questions about today's show or give us ideas for future shows. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. We're going to be talking about the Immaculate Conception, I believe. So, Swami, any other final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I just wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.